Greetings and blessings, beautiful warrior, gladiator. Thank you so much for being part of another conversation here on Good Gas Mondays. We are carrying forward a series of conversations titled Her Phoenix Story, where women share their story of struggle, of pain, of debilitating fire, but choosing to heal through that process of being turned to ash from the experience of a fire or two that questioned their definition of self, questioned their worthiness, questioned the very future that they wanted to step into. But they survived and they have come out on the other side of that fire, sprouting big, beautiful, majestic wings. This conversation is one such. I'm going to be joined this beautiful, beautiful day by a powerful woman. Her name is Mojiba Ashay. And she is walking us through a journey from childhood into womanhood. And we're spelling womanhood, W-O-M-B, to give emphasis to the feminine power that we have as womb carriers, womb men. So, as I always ask you to do, open your heart to receiving her conversation and her story with compassion. Clear the air and any filter that may warp the truth that we want to feed into your spirit today. And let's settle in humility, because there's something all of us can learn from each other if we humbly choose to be taught. Let's hear her Phoenix story. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another Phoenix story and conversation with a powerful woman whose story will do nothing but inspire you. It covers a range of areas and themes, but of course, the lessons wrapped up in each of those areas can serve us now in the healing of our past self, in building courage to take control of the present self, and then to also redefine who we want to be in our future self and just do everything we can to protect the whole womb man. Okay, I pronounced that wrong so that we could get that. That's how we're talking about it today. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. And I remember saying in the beginning of every conversation we've had, make sure you're taking notes. These conversations are meant to bring us closer to lessons, wisdom, collective and shared wisdom that we can apply to our own lives. We don't have to live it to learn it. Sometimes we can learn from those who have lived it. So grab pen and paper, make sure you have that notes app open as we create space in our spirit, in our heart, to receive her powerful story. Welcome, welcome to Good Gas Mondays, Mojiba Ashay. How are you?
Thank you so very much, and thank you for your patience. I am giving thanks. And I'm very happy to join you to share this journey called life. I'm great. Thank you. And how are you?
So we have quite a bit to cover in terms of the dimensions of the woman that you now are. But if you were to define yourself today in the most powerful language, how would you define Mojiba?
Wow, I would just have to say simply, I'm love, you know, love, because love is the foundation and the essence of life. And when you discover that, you know, there's nothing nothing comes before that or after, as far as I'm concerned, because in all that we do, if love is not the leading or the foundation, then something is absolutely missing. So I would define myself, if I am to, and say I am love.
And then it did take you some time to get to a place of full self-love, unconditional
self-love
for you. What was standing in the way of that consuming love of self? What prevented you from loving yourself?
That's such a beautiful question. And nothing stands in our way except us. So I was standing in my own way based on what I thought life was about, so to speak, and based on who I thought I was. I was limiting myself in every sense of the word, and not having confidence and not in a sense of security, it really is a showstopper. So the confidence was not there, you know, and just distractions upon distractions, be it people, be it family members, be it your own emotional trauma, you know. So all of those things was blocking me, you know, not being focused as to what life really is about, and just being confused. You know, I think we all go through that, a period of confusion. We don't, you know, all know who we are initially. You know, it takes series of events, you know, and experiences for us to unravel, so to speak. So, yeah, all those things was a showstopper for me. Just caught up in just the physical plane and being distracted, you know, with just things that wasn't serving me, so to speak. So yes, my traumas most of all, though, I think.
And as you made it through the fire and had to deal with the healing of those traumas, what did you learn to let go? What heightened sense of awareness did you arrive at going through your fire? And we'll talk in detail about, you know, what this fire process was. But what can you recall releasing in that experience?
Foremost, fear. You know, fear. You know, just being afraid of just everything, even people. Like, I went through that period of just being afraid of people, you know, not trusting nobody, you know, not trusting myself. So the foremost thing, I think, was fear. I had to come to terms with what fear really was. And I had to overcome that. I had to step over that in order to truly live and express myself, you know, from the depth of my core. So fear foremost. And then when you can overcome that, then you know, your confidence automatically just give you this boost. You feel just so powerful and strong, and you know, you feel so sure about yourself. So fear, definitely. And the insecurity that had to go, you know, doubting myself had to go. So yeah, basically fear was the foremost thing that I had to come to terms with it. And I had to also realize that it was standing in my way, so to speak. So fear.
Well, look, I have my book right here, Kill Fear, because that is how we unleash the courage and the capacity.
When I saw your book, it's so interesting because I have a poem and I will share with you after, or send it to you via email. And I have a poem called Fear Murderer. Mm. So I love the title of your book, naturally, because I have a poem on my album and it's called Fear Murderer.
Perfect. Yeah. So fire, you had identified four major refining moments in your life: the transition of your parents, the process, yes, of adoption, the experience, yes, of depression, and, yes, marriage.
Yes.
All of those things, wow, are major moments in life.
Yes.
Walk, wow, us through where it started. What was the first fire you had to endure? And what was the source of it? Why did it hurt?
The first fire. I forget, I have a ring light. The first fire would definitely have to be the transition of my parents. Yes, that was like the majority of my life was very, very, very hard to come to terms with and to deal with. I really didn't know how to deal with it. Even though I've been to counseling and all of that, there was just nothing and no one that could soothe me. Nothing, literally nothing, no one. There was just this void inside of me, and I just felt like, you know, I felt like the victim.
How old were you?
Like, why? My mother passed when I was, my father passed when I was four, and my mother when I was six. So that was like, yeah, it was really, really hard for me because there was such love, and there is such love. And it wasn't just the transition of my parents that was difficult. It was also I was taken into a whole different world that I never knew that world. So you're talking about a little girl coming from the ghetto, Rockfort, you know, into what they call uptown. You know, I was adopted by, you know, this uptown artist, so to speak, principal. So it was a whole different world for me. Not only that, there was always a lot of, you know, people always used to look at me like very weird, especially during school when my mother would drop me off and they used to make fun of me and, you know, like, how your mother white and you black? And so I had to go through all of that type of teasing, so to speak, and, you know, people looking at me as if something is wrong with me because there's this black little girl being adopted by what they would call a, you know, white looking woman. So the transition of my parents hit me really hard for most of my life.
And are you comfortable sharing what led to their transitioning?
Well, my father, I don't know if you know of the history of Count Ozzy, who is a cultural and musical icon. Count Ozzy met in a car accident where a bus collided into him and he died on the spot. And it was actually on Heroes Day. You read up on Count Ozzy, you'll be very pleasantly surprised. And so it was like, boom, sudden, Heroes Day. October 18, 1976, my mother died of a broken heart, literally died of a broken heart. 2 years later, she went to the hospital and just never came back. And they diagnosed her with heart condition. So I always say she died of a broken heart. And my mother had like 10 of us, 8 for Count Ozzy. And it was just, I think literally she just could not. She could not carry on. And the day of my father's transition, my baby brother also transitioned. So it was a 2-in-1 funeral. Wow. So that's what happened with their transition. So it was just, we didn't foresee none of that.
I'm so glad to hear this because it's earth shattering, that kind of shift in a home to lose breadwinner.
Yes.
Yeah, and to lose baby. This would have been the youngest of your siblings.
Yes, literally.
So the healing has to happen, not just for mom and her heart, but every other child coming to terms with losing one of us, you know?
Yes.
Or source, but also one of us, one of the tribe.
And
you're being adopted out of your family into another family. How much of that connection did you lose or with your
That's a very interesting question because foremost, I was so young, but I think that they should have kind of discussed it with me, and heard what I, you know, had to say about it or how I felt about the adoption. Because if it was up to me, I would have said no. You know, because I was torn also, not just from my mother and my father's transition, but from my siblings as well. We all separated thereafter. I mean, I didn't get adopted until I was around 7 or 8. But still, I was very upset about that. I felt like I was given away, you know, kind of thing. And it was so bad because during the times when I had to get familiar with this person, where I had to be spending weekends with this person, I used to cry all the time. And she would buy me ice cream. And then after I had the ice cream, I would start bawling again. So what happened now? What happened now was that they decided that one of my sisters should go along with me to keep me quiet. So she ended up adopting one of my sisters with me along, you know, the journey. But my sister didn't stay with us very long. She ran away. Wow. She ran away when she was around 13. She went away and she never came back. So I was left with my adopted mother. So it was very difficult for me because my adopted mother, she never had children of her own. And we just did not see eye to eye. at all. And so it was like war. It was like war for years, you know, emotional war, because there it is. I was adopted by somebody who was also broken emotionally, not knowing anything about that, not knowing anything about the history of this person, nothing, you know, other than her profession and, you know, her name, so to speak, but not knowing the inner, you know, being of this person. So it was rugged. I mean, I tried to kill myself one time.
At what age?
I was in my 20s.
But it was...
I was in my early 20s.
And rocky that relationship was with your adopted mother.
Yes, yes. I felt like this is unbearable. I can't do this. I don't want this. If this is what life is about, I don't want it.
Do you think that, and for some of us, it's hard to recognize it, but now that you have more awareness, what kind of trauma do you think your adopted mother was trying to parent you with? So what did you think she carried as her own traumatic experiences into the parenting experience with you?
I think it's just anger. I think she grew up in a lot of anger. So arguing, complaining, whining, being miserable about everything was something she adopted from she was younger due to her upbringing within her family. So she did not know how to communicate respectfully, and she was not very sensitive. She was not very sensitive as to the depth of what I had experienced as a child. Certain things you won't know, especially when you haven't mothered a child. There are certain things you have to know through experience, some. And being a mother, mothering a child and bringing forth a child is one of those experiences. It's just not the same as adopt. When you adopt a child, it's not the same as when you bring forth a child. It's not the same. So I think her anger and her sadness was what, and I think maybe that's why she attracted me, you know, in a weird way. We attract each other based on similarities, though we may not like the sound of that, but we also attract people based on some of the negative aspects within ourselves that needs to be healed. So me being depressed and angry also attracted me an adopted mother who was also angry.
Clarity is this. So we're accepting in this conversation that even when we are unconscious of it, we are attracting the energies.
Yes, both the negative
vibrations.
Yes, yes, not just the positive, but not also the negative. Yes.
Wow. Yes. Have you been able to reconcile with your adopted mother those differences and how they would have impacted and maybe created new trauma for you or new opportunities for healing?
Well, I'm here right now, actually, in Kingston at her home. And interestingly, I've just accepted that I'm not responsible for her journey, and that I have to also just focus on the wonderful things that I admire about her. So I've chosen to focus on that, because if I'm to focus on what I don't like and everything that has passed, it will just be hateful, and I don't want to live hateful with no one. So I've just come to terms with accepting her as she thinks she is. And I'm just grateful and respectful to her as best as I can be. And I know how to deal with her. Once you understand a person and where they're coming from, you know how to proceed with them. So when you can accept people as they think they are, you relieve yourself of a lot of unnecessary heartache and stress. Don't try to feel like you can change this person and change that person. You know, don't try that. They change if they want to change. You know what I mean? And I've told her already that, you know, love, you need love. And you can't look to me for that. I'm not obligated to loving you. You're obligated to loving yourself. just like I've had to find my way, she has to find her way. So maybe me being how I am and the 360 degree that I've made, that change, maybe that would inspire her. I don't know. She's in her 70s, but anything is possible. You know, so I've just learned how to accept and learn how to deal with her as she is without the disrespect and the drama. You know what I mean? That's what has happened. Yeah, and I feel better.
Listen, that is such a powerful reflection and point of awareness to learn to accept the people in our lives, whether we love them or don't love them, just people, human beings.
Precisely, precisely.
As they think they are, not what you want them to be.
Precisely.
And choosing to resist and force them into the vision, the picture frame that we want them to be in, because that is.
But that's the root of all war in the world. Disagreements. When you agree, you're all good. Everybody good. But once you're not agreeing and seeing eye to eye, like you're the worst thing. No. Leave people to be what they think they are. Learn to agree, to disagree, and you still can deal with each other respectfully. You don't have to like the person.
Wow, there's a whole set of people who need to hear that, and I hope vibration reaches them, because we have to learn to accept people as they are, not who we would wish.
Yes. Or you go crazy.
How did that upbringing and interfacing with the anger and the sadness and having to work your way emotionally through that to find yourself? How was that journey complemented or disrupted through marriage? Because you describe marriage as one of your fires as well.
Boy, locks, yes. Well, you know something? Marriage, wow. Marriage was something I thought, oh, I have to do this. You know, it was one of those things like, I have to find that man that wants to marry me. And, you know, we're gonna have children together, and this kind of life in my mind that I thought I must have this. And it's interesting that when I did have the experience, it was nothing like what I thought marriage was supposed to be like, because again, I was faced with that thing of conflicting personalities. At first it was, oh, you're the most beautiful woman in the world. Your spirituality is your greatest trait. And it went from that to, oh, you're too spiritual. So it went from the extreme of, oh, you're so spiritual and I love and admire you. And then it went, oh, you're too spiritual. Oh, come on, get back to earth type of thing. But the anger really spilled in my marriage. So my marriage actually brought up a lot of stuff. So my ex-husband became my mirror. And it was so interesting. Yes, it was spooky and it took a long time to realize it. But yes, he became my mirror. Yes. And again, I attracted a broken man. He was broken because from childhood, being separated from his father. His home was disrupted because his mother left his father he was 9 years of age and moved to Jamaica. Being born in Canada and then moving to Jamaica, him and his sister and his mother, was a whole different thing for him. So he had a lot of anger inside, and I don't think his mother ever realized what an impact and the effects it had on him, the divorce. A lot of parents, people are oblivious to that whole thing of separation. It can cause a lot of disruption if you don't have spiritually grounded parents. When you're spiritually grounded, it's much easier for you to handle it, and you're able to, you know, to carry on and to carry, you know, and not be torn down by the effects of a breakup, so to speak. So my marriage,
transferring the right kinds of lessons, even
precisely
to your children, because they are also
right.
What does it mean for a relationship to end? Does it mean
nasty?
Does it mean hatred? Does it mean your enemy? I'm God and your devil. How do
right.
you other, you know?
Yes.
Yes. Close. Does it mean we no longer respect each other?
It's right.
An example setting.
Yes. It's a lot.
when the child gets older to deal with separation of their own.
Yes. Yes, it's a lot, because somehow the children end up blaming or feeling like it's my fault, or it has something to do with me, maybe, you know, or I'm not good enough, or, you know, it's so easy to point fingers on yourself, and it's so easy to think, oh, maybe something to do with me, or maybe, you know, da 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 da. So it's quite a journey. Marriage for me was an eye-opener, and I must give thanks to my marriage for contributing to the woman I am today. It's almost like, it's almost as if he, my ex-husband freed me when he moved back to Canada. And it was devastating for me because I didn't think I could live without him, because we were so close. Throughout all of the cussing and this, we always managed to have that love. You know, we had a friendship before we got intimate, and I think that is what kind of made us so kind of close, because there was friendship before there was intimacy. And then now after he migrated, and I felt like, oh God, I can't live without this person. Oh my God, you know, and I wasn't in agreement with the decision for him to go. I had no say in the matter. And that was a wake-up call for me. Like, listen to me, woman. People are going to make their decision whether or not you like it. So you need to get with it. You are married, but you don't own the man. You know that type of way? Like, yeah, you're married. Yes, you have a child together. We planned for our child. My child with my husband was our plan. We planned for her. I have three children, and that one child was planned. Mm-hmm. Prayed for, meditated on, bless your womb every time we made love. Planned, and then boom. Thought could make a better life in Canada, and the rest is history. It's been almost 10 years now. He has not returned.
And he was supposed to? That was part of the plan for him to?
Well, no. I was supposed to join him there. So the filing process had started with all of that. And then boom, he met a girl, had a baby, one piece of everything switched. Yeah. And then that didn't work, of course, because he was trying to find a replacement. We have to recognize that as much as we have different relationships, there's one Crystal Tomlinson. You get me? That experience that you may have in a relationship, they're not going to have it with somebody else, because there's one of you, of how you are, how you're built up, how you smell, how your personality is, how you dress, you know? So he was trying to find a replacement, but it did not work. He wasn't over me and then went into another relationship. Big mistake, which I told him. I said, what are you doing? You're destroying your family, you know, to start a whole new family with someone that you don't know. You don't know this person. But we have to allow people to do what they think they need for their growth.
So thankfully, your marriage gave you clarity, gave
you a lot.
Measure of freedom and
yes.
deeper understanding of the responsibility we have for ourselves and yes. the ability to take yes. charge of anybody else but ourselves.
Yes. Yes, you have to love yourself so much that no matter who goes, you're still standing. It's very dangerous to love somebody else. I don't even know if it's possible, really. People say it, but I don't know if it's really possible, with maybe the exception of maybe your children. It's safe to probably say, boy, I love my pity them more than I love myself. But as it relates to a man, you know, you have to be very careful not to put that man above you. You can walk side by side, but putting that person above you, big mistake. Don't do it. Because once they go, what's going to happen to you? You still have you to live with. So you have to maintain that strong foundation of love and respect for yourself, irrespective of what happens in your personal life.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And then that goes against everything we are taught religiously, socially. The woman is, I call it the donkey philosophy, right? And I'll explain it to you.
I love it.
Where the woman is supposed to be the bearer of all pain. And you look at the woman and say, wow, you are so strong. You have gone through so much. You could definitely go through a little more because you're a woman and woman can bear it. But, you know, as a man, can do what you do as a woman. And so we make the woman a donkey to carry the weight, to carry the burden, mm-hmm. to always be under pressure and stress.
Yes.
because yes. she's trying to bear up this man who she has put above herself.
Precisely.
So I will violate my principles so you can yes. see I'm loyal. I will yes. sit back and not do what I want to do so you can yes. tell people that she supports my
precisely. Be pretentious. Yes, but a lot of people do that. I see it all the time. A lot of people are pretending. They're in relationships and they're just pretending. They have to, you know, hold back, you know, their opinions because they don't want the man to jump down their throat or them don't want to take up a box. Once you can't be yourself freely with somebody, you're in problem. Once you can't be yourself freely, you're in problem. That is a death sentence. Emotional death sentence.
I'm loving this conversation because I too have had to leave a relationship that the world wanted me to define myself by. And so as though, you know, you have to prove that your initial decision and wisdom was correct. And to change your mind about the relationship means that you are inauthentic or you are fake.
No. You actually become more authentic. You actually become more authentic when you can recognize mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that you have the right to change your mind.
Absolutely.
You have the right to change your mind. If something is not in complementary to your spirit or your values and goals, you better change your mind fast. You have that right.
It's in the process of doing, you know, doing your yes. doing what you think is right, that you learn yes. new truths. So the truths that you started with, your decisions on, you learn yes. new truths. And then you
precisely.
Get, well, what
precisely.
Will information? Do I pretend yes. I didn't learn it? Just so no. others can see me as consistent or approve my behavior.
No!
Learn those lessons.
And like, you know, you don't, and you don't owe anybody any explanation for your decision either. That's the most beautiful thing. Yes. You don't owe nobody. You don't need to explain yourself as to why you change your mind. You change your mind. You must know why you change your mind. It's mm-hmm. not for people to know why you change your mind. That's not their business. It's up to you.
How have you been able to create now this or open this third eye where you can even recognize the pain in others? So you're seeing it in yourself, but you're mm-hmm. able to recognize the depression, mm-hmm. pain, self-hate in others
yes.
and guide them back to the point of self-love. How were you able to do that? Or when did you realize that you're able to do that?
Well, you see, after realizing that I didn't want to live how I was living anymore, and I went into a shutdown, like I just cut off everybody, friends, everyone. I just wanted to be with myself. And I did that. I went into the whole fasting mode of cleansing and purifying my body. I went into a research mode. I became a research addict, a junkie. I used to read until like my eyes were puffy. I just got addicted to reading and information. And I just evaluated what I read and how I was living and my experience. And I just put things together. It's like a puzzle. And you put things together because what's beautiful is that once you start to ask questions, the answers appear. And in many different forms and through many different people. So what I did was, what happened after that is after going through so much trauma and the anger and the depression and the suicidal thoughts and all these things, it's easier now for me to recognize when people are in pain because I can sense energy. Literally, because I did a whole thing about that, auras and energies and how you feel when you're in the presence of someone tells a lot. It's, you know, like what Jamaican people say, the spirit not take the person, it's for a reason. You may not know the person, you're not hearing their thoughts, you don't know nothing about them, but it's just an energy. Energy never lies and everything is energy. So once you're able to be spiritually in tuned and you have all of the information, so to speak, it's very easy for you to recognize pain in others, especially having gone through so many different types of pain. I mean, I've gone through pain with, through, you know, my friendships, just friends, women, you know, sleeping with your boyfriend, all those things, the betrayal of all those type of interactions, you know, finding out that this person was being a hypocrite to you, you know, the transition of my parents being adopted, you know, that whole shebang, near-death experience, meeting car accident and wonder how you survived when everybody thought you were dead because they saw you rolling out of the back of a vehicle like a rag doll in the road and shocked that you stood up. I myself still marvel by things like that. So from my personal experiences, it's very easy. And having children is key for me. Three girls, and they all have three different personalities. And let me tell you something, these children, they're like alarm clocks. Having to deal with so many different personalities, and then they're like 6 years apart. So you know, I have one that is soon 30, and I have one that is 23, and one that's now 12. So the age gap between them gives me a lot of room to kind of, you know, play around with their personalities and stuff. So when you go through all of that as a mother and being, you know, maternal and stuff, it has become very easy for me to recognize when somebody is in pain by the choices of the words they use, by the colors that they wear, by the places they go to, even the type of music that they love and gravitate towards. So it's a series of all these things. And also based on when they're born. I'm a numerologist, so I study numbers. That was one of my first discovery and fascination, and still is a beautiful fascination for me. Yes, numbers are messengers.
You know, I am curious now. So what numbers I need to give you? We can read them. I'm so curious about these things. Have no understanding how it works.
No.
I'm so intrigued.
Oh God, you would be floored. I think for this experience, I would personally do a self-analysis report for you based on your birthday. I will do that for you. It's quite detailed, but I will give that to you for allowing me to have this opportunity to share my journey, because it's not a 1 minute, 2 minute thing at all. You'll be so surprised. Based on your name, because each letter in your name is a number. Mm-hmm. They're not just letters. So every letter is a number, and every number is a letter, and all of them are vibrational. Everything is vibrational. So even you, when is your birthday?
June 8th, 1990.
You're a number 8, so you're an infinity woman. As you know, you're an infinity woman. What? You're born in an 8? Wow. You should be singing. You should be in music. Number 8 is the executive number and has rulership over the earthly plane. It is also the same vibration as the word music. You know, like when you have 1 + 3 + da 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 equals, is the same principle with letters. Each of your letters in your name is a number. So you add them up and you get one number. So the word music literally is a number 8 as well. It's just that it's 17, but 1 and 7 = 8. So you're a number 8 woman. So you're way above your years. From your child, then when I say you're probably forthright, you are mature beyond your years. Ask your mother. You are mature beyond your years. From your look a bit, you're probably thinking about things that at your age, you should not have no business thinking or wondering about those things. So the 8 is one of my favorites. Well, I'm born in an 8 too, but I'm just the 17th. So, wow, you're an executive woman, man. Powerful.
I actually very recently got an infinity tattoo, not knowing that it was related to, yes, so when you say I'm an infinity woman, I nearly box up the laptop and run from you.
You almost box up.
No. Oh, I have to wrap up the interview right away.
What?
An infinity tattoo.
No, that's phenomenal. It's destined, because that's your number, dear. That's infinity. I don't believe that.
Nobody knows I have that, except very close friends who've seen it. So even
folks, yes,
that make sure that it's concealed.
Oh my God, that is beautiful.
Right.
That is beautiful. Oh my.
Wow.
You're in sync and you don't even know.
Wow. Yep. So yes,
that
I'm saying yes.
You're assigned that. Yes.
I'm saying you're yes right up around my numerology, because I'm so intrigued by it.
You're going to love it.
I believe that there is a language of life
that
we cannot capture as we are, like on this plane. You can't
look at it.
It's a vibration, and it's an energy.
It's literally.
stars and the moon and the ships below our feet.
Yes. Everything has a story and everything have a root.
Yes.
Everything has a root and nothing is as it seems. And life on earth is just a speck of reality. Mm. But because we have forgotten that before we became flesh, we were already existing in some other realm or some other plane or in some other way, we have gotten so caught up. And that's what I talk about, the distractions. It's so easy to be and to get distracted because we live in a noisy world. The world is noisy. People are noisy. I went on a trip to Castletown on Saturday, and I kid you not, the bus had the music up, like say them at some big street dance, and everybody was chatting. I couldn't wait to come off of the bus. It was so noisy. And though they're not listening to the music, you know, because the music is on, but then there's a yap. It's an addiction. It's an addiction. And we don't realize that if you're constantly talking, you cannot hear nothing. What you're going to hear when you're constantly talking, you have to learn to respect the power of silence, because that's when whatever you perceive God to be, that is when a lot of things are revealed to me. And I love my life as it is now. I don't have a social life other than social media. That's my social life. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, I love being with myself because I find out so many things, and so many things come to me. And it's only in my meditative and quietness that this information would come to me. Otherwise, I wouldn't know a lot of what I know. And that's the difference. They would say, oh, you know this, oh, you know this. I said, I'm not special, you know. It's just your focus and your interests. That's all. Where you focus on, all is mind, you know. So once you get it in your head that I want to know about this, or I'm interested in this, you can know everything about it. Everything you want to know, nothing is hidden. You just have to want to know and tap into that. And once you tap into that, infinity.
the possibilities are truly endless.
Yes.
I'm waiting for it. So we will talk after this conversation around how that can happen.
Yes.
But you're also enjoying a new and freer flow of creativity. Tell me about your creative expression.
Oh God, it's so loud that they think I'm enough.
Yeah.
They can't manage. Yeah, you know how people say. You know how people they live to criticize. And no matter what you're doing, they just find a way to criticize what you're doing, especially if it's even positive. They find a way to tear you down, even though you're doing something positive. You're not doing nothing wrong. You're not doing nothing harm. It's the funniest thing to me.
Criticism about the bad things in the world, you know. But find somebody who's doing nothing but minding their own.
Positive. Yep. I'm a creative addict. I just create anything that comes to my mind. I just create. I love making jewelry. I love creating clothing without sewing. I like the challenge. Yes, so that's what a lot of my stuff. Where you get that? I make it. They're like, what? Yeah, I don't sew though, so don't ask me to sew. I don't know how to sew. Yes, I can put things together, but I'm not so much into that. I love to cut and tie things together. And then I like to decorate fabrics. So bleach is a best friend of mine. Bleach is really a best friend of mine. So creativity for me is so unplanned. I will just get up and think, oh, I want to do body butters today. Oh, I want to make lip balm. So I do all of those things. I make the things that I wear on my skin. I design my own t-shirts. I make my own jewelry. So it's just something that comes naturally to me because we are all creators. We are creatress. The men creators, we are creatress. So creativity for me is actually medicine because it's expressing an aspect of myself. And when I see something that I make, I'm like, wow, you did that? And I feel good about myself. It makes you feel good about yourself when you can create something knowing that you created that out of your own mind, you know, and it not being influenced necessarily by anything else that you have seen, but it's just an inspiration you're led to create that. So I create a lot of things and I love to sell. I love to sell what I create.
Enterprising.
And,
Enterprising.
Yes. So I've been doing that for a very, very long time.
Poetry?
Yes, I have an album and an EP out. Yes, I have an album called Black Rasta Woman EP. That's the EP. And then my album is Reflection of Count Ozzy. Well, it's 11-11. It's 11-11 Reflection of Count Ozzy. So I have a 12-track album and I have an EP as well.
And they are available where for purchase?
Yes, iTunes and Spotify and all those things. Yes. I have something new about to release as well this month.
A way of connecting with your creativity and being served by it too. And it's under the name Mojiba Ashe, right?
Mojiba Ashe. Well, on Facebook, I love to switch up my name, you know. They say I like to confuse people. I said, no, it's just that sometimes a different aspect of me tap in, and I feel like I use Count Ozzy Pitney, like on Instagram, it's Count Ozzy Pitney, self_world. And I later joined Instagram. So I'm relatively new on Instagram, but you think I've been there forever because I post endlessly as the inspiration comes. Or creativity, I post. I don't care what nobody wants, is my page. So I have thousands of posts. On the Facebook, I go by, once you put in Mojiba, you'll find me because it's going to come up. But it's actually O Ashe Ashanti Mojiba on Facebook. So, social media is my platform to interact with people because I rather that interaction more than physical interaction, because I find that I lose a lot of energy sometimes having to interact with a lot of people over an extended period of time. So yeah, that's how I work through that, and I have a method of healing called write and heal therapy, where I use writing. Is God to me. Like literally, it's been my mirror on another level. And it has helped me not to hold anything inside of me. And when I write, I have no choice but to address what comes out. So it's very commanding. So I use writing. I find that it works for a lot of people who don't really want to talk. Mm-hmm. So when they write, they become more intimate with themselves. So I have a thing that I do called write and heal therapy that I've been doing for over the years with persons. And it's very, very effective, and it's very therapeutic writing.
And if persons want to benefit from that write and heal therapy, how do they get in touch? How do they email?
They can email me at countozipitney@gmail.com, or easier, selflovecures. Yes, selflovecures17@gmail.com. So that's selflovecures17@gmail.com.
And you'll be able to guide
them. And I'll be able to guide them and to do whatever you want me to do as long as it's in reason.
I am so blessed to have had this conversation with you, Mojiba. I feel elevated, I feel enlightened, I feel empowered, and certainly much more confident and
that's so good.
With hard decisions that I've had to take over the last few months, understand that, you know, the gut is guiding me, and not everything I can use my words to explain, and not everything I can get anyone else to agree with, but it's balance, just inside. Yes. I am clear, I am comfortable and at peace with it.
Yes.
That's what gives me power.
Precisely, being comfortable.
Yes.
Being comfortable is everything. Comfort is everything. Once you're not comfortable, you know, so you need to shift. You need to make a different decision. But once you're comfortable, nobody can tell you not, because you feel comfortable, you're at peace. So let your spirit guide you and you can't fail.
Woman.
Thank you so much. This was so good.
Thanks.
It was worth the wait.
Yes.
And I want to tell you this, you know, I was kind of tempted earlier because a sister is here from England, right? And she called me like after 8 this morning, wanted me to go to Ochi with her. She's going to Ochi to go to River. And River, water is mighty, you know. And I said to her, no, I can't go. I have a meeting with Crystal. She was like, oh, all right.
She sounded so annoyed because she was trying to get me to go out with her yesterday. And I was like, Hell show still exists. No, I don't want to go to Hell Show because I don't eat fish and all that stuff anyway. I'm like, I want to go to Hell Show. So it was almost a sacrifice somewhat, but I know that I couldn't put it off again. As I said, third is the charm. So I said, I have to do this so River can wait. So thank you so much, Crystal.
Thank you
for your talk.
Have a wonderful day. Forward to sharing this with our listeners. We have the name of your album or your two productions. We have this for Spotify and on
iTunes. Yes.
And we can find you online. You gave us your social media handles as well and email address so we can continue with you. So I'm so grateful. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Infinity Woman, and have a wonderful day.
Blessings.
All right.
This Infinity Woman is so hyped up. I am on a high from that conversation with Mojiba, and I hope it served you as powerfully as it served me. What did you learn? As you reflect on her story of healing, of hearing her life, hearing her trauma, her pain, her anger, and choosing to change the vibrations that she was standing in each day, the vibrations that were calling other energies into her life, choosing her happy, choosing her peace, choosing her healing. What have you been choosing? And how are those choices reflected in the people who are choosing you? Think about it. Write about it. Write your way to healing if you have to. And remember, you can always send her an email at selflovecures17@gmail.com if you need help to write through your own healing. I'm Crystal Tomlinson, and it has been my pleasure to guide you through this conversation as we learn from her Phoenix story. Remember to subscribe to our podcast anywhere you listen to your podcast. And like, subscribe, comment, and share our YouTube page, Crystal Tomlinson, where we host the video version of every one of our Phoenix Story conversations. Love, light, and blessings always.
And that will do it for this episode of Good Gas Mondays. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am so happy you found us in this corner of the internet. I don't know how you did it, but you made it over here, and we are happy to have you. And if you are a returning member of our Gladiator community, thank you so much for rocking with us and helping to keep our show on the charts. It's because of you. You listen to it, you share it, you comment, you give us the reviews, you share it on your social media, and you invite other people to join our community and be blessed by our content. And we get rewarded for that by being ranked on the charts. And that's just so amazing. I'm very, very grateful for every member of our Good Guest Mondays community. So before you leave, I want to ask you a quick favor. It's going to take you 30 seconds. If you are fueled by our conversations, I'm asking you to give us a rating wherever you're listening to this podcast. And if you're feeling very charitable, you can also drop us a comment. Yes, review the podcast. It helps Apple, Google, Stitcher, Anchor, wherever you're listening to the podcast, to know that this is good stuff. And it ensures that more people will know we exist and they can join us over here in this corner of light. I'm also always happy to read those reviews inside our episode. So if you write a review, it's a guarantee we're going to read it in a future episode. I say thank you in advance for that. And please share this episode with anyone you know who could be blessed and empowered by what we discussed today. Take good care, and I'll see you again on Monday for another episode of Good Guest Mondays. Blessings.